This show is for general educational purposes only and is not a substitute for specific legal advice by a competent lawyer practicing in your jurisdiction.
Good morning, New York. I'm Elisa Geffner.
And I'm Carolyn Kirsch. We are partners in a matrimony and family law firm, and we represent individuals involved in all issues under the divorce and family law umbrella. We've been working together for 17 years, and we've had the opportunity to help so many people.
Yes, I'm working with Carolyn for 17 years. We could say we're married.
She's my work wife, my better half.
Welcome to Divorce and Happily Ever After, where we're taking all the knowledge we've gained from our clients and everybody that we've known throughout our career and providing you with our insight on family, relationships, and of course, divorce, and how we really believe that divorce is a way in which for you to experience personal growth. And we want to let you know how to do that and give you some, you know, positivity to this subject.
And today we're going to be speaking with Stephanie Ovadia. She's an incredibly successful individual, a successful litigation attorney, a celebrity agent, and a mother of 8 amazing children.
Speaking of children, so happy birthday, Damon. Her apple of her eye, her oldest son is turning 11 coming up this coming week. And tell everybody where he wanted to go out of all places.
He wanted to go to the Museum of Natural History.
And he's been there before for his birthday, right?
When he was younger, we used to take him all the time, and he loved it. And I figured at 11 years old, that's the last place he'd want to go. We tried to take a family trip somewhere, you know, for their birthdays, and that's what he wanted to do. So we're going into the city.
So, you know, I don't know if anybody else has an 11-year-old, but a kid who is moving on to middle school, as they say, one of those, you know, big steps in life. And the gift that happens at that time is
a cell phone.
It's the cell phone time. So how's that, giving Damon a cell phone now?
Well, I have to say, he's number one, he's a very responsible child. I could say of my 3 children, he is the only one who has never lost an iPad. My one daughter, if you could believe, actually lost an iPad, like the standard size iPad. My other daughter lost an iPod. He has never lost a single piece of electronic.
Don't jinx him.
He's not going to lose it. He's very responsible.
Episode 5, Damon lost his cell phone.
You know what? He's tied to them. I mean, he's good about charging them. So I'm not so worried about
he
that.
He is tied to his electronics. That is for sure.
So much so that he charges it while he plays. And we've had to replace many iPads because the port becomes loose. And we have to explain to them, you can't do that. You have to play it, let it die, and then charge it. But he's not capable of doing that. But
how many wires have we bought from those docking stations?
We have docks. She has 2 in her house. I probably have 3 in my house. It's, you can never buy enough of the 6-foot charging cords from Amazon.
But what I will say is, you know, now that kids have iPads and cell phones since they're little, it takes away, when you're in a divorcing situation, having to go through your ex-spouse to reach and speak to your children. I don't have as many. We do sometimes have complaints.
Well, a big one is that, you know, what do you do when your 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old is punished? You take away their electronics, right? They don't really care about anything else. But then you're in a situation where the residential parent takes away that privilege, and that cuts off the lines of communication with the non-custodial parent.
We've had that complaint.
We've had that a lot. So, you know, that's one of the dicier issues with cell phone communication, but it makes it easier.
Yeah, I mean, with Charlie, I rarely have to speak to him through my kids. I say, just call them. Call them. You have their FaceTime and their cell numbers. Just give them a call. So in that regard, it's easier, definitely. And I have comfort that, you know, you can get in contact with your kids.
The interesting thing is I've been looking into this Life 360 now that he has a phone to be able to track him. And I was reading up on it because I was having some difficulty connecting my son's phone. And you see all these articles where they say, you know, don't get Life 360. It's ruined my relationship with my parents. And you hear how basically the parents are, you know, they say that Life 360, it's a way for you not to be a helicopter parent and to have peace of mind. But some parents are completely obsessed with it. It takes away to some extent that level of trust that you would have back in the day when you didn't have cell phones and all you had was a beeper.
My friend who has kids at college is literally having panic attacks through all hours of the night watching their child go from the dorm to the bar to this to that. It's knowledge is power, but knowledge can be debilitating.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm definitely going to do it, but in a way I'm kind of like, I have to check myself and make sure that it's not too much of a crutch, because I could see that driving a wedge between you and your child. I mean, it's quite frankly, it's invasive. I wouldn't want to be tracked.
We had our friend over the other day who can see the text messages from her son, and she says, what do I do? I'm seeing seeing this go down with this group message. What do I do? And kind of like, I don't think you could do anything about it. What are you going to do about it?
We'll peek in on their communications, Elise and I, but we don't necessarily want to mirror it because, you know what, some things just have to unfold.
Well, we could give a shout out to Humphrey because that's all my son ever talks about is this hamster.
Well, we're going to have to talk about that next time because we could have a whole segment on Humphrey. But now we have some exciting celebrity news.
So our celebrity news, as some of you may know, Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari have been going through a divorce after 10 years of being together, 3 children. This has been going on for a while. It was made public in April of 2020. It's COVID, which is an interesting connection. But things are sort of developing at the moment with respect to their divorce. Jay Cutler, after being in football, he retired in 2017, no longer working. And at that time, Kristen, his wife, who was really just supporting her husband at that time and tending to the kids, developed this jewelry line, store brand, I guess you call it, Uncommon James. And they created this reality show.
And you see through E!, you know, they were filming the growth of her empire, which, as Elise Lisa said, she started in 2018. There were 3 seasons, but not only do we get to see, you know, Kristen focusing on her career and growing this amazing business, but we also got to watch what happened with her marriage with Jay. You know, him retiring, her becoming more entrepreneurial, and you know,
I will say, this is the only reality. I always say I claim myself to be a reality buff. Carolyn will not watch it. This is the only one she's ever watched and got obsessed with.
Well, I have to say, it's not that I won't watch it. It's that I don't have 5 minutes to myself that I could, you know, sit there and veg out in front of the television. But during COVID, alas, I had time and Elisa got me into Very Cavallari, which I did love, by the way. And I like Uncommon James, by the way. It's really cool stuff, reasonably priced, very chic.
Yes, Carolyn Boy for me for Mother's Day.
And she lost one of the earrings, so I think this is her saying, please buy me another pair.
I know, I keep looking they at will that come. One earring. Why do you keep one earring in your jewelry box?
Because you're hoping that your amazing business partner will buy you a second pair. So when you lose that earring, you'll have a match.
Like the long one. But, you know, we do find that this shift in the dynamic of a relationship can cause real unrest and a tension in a marriage and can ultimately be a demise of a marriage. You might have one spouse, let's say the husband, who was the sole focus career-wise, the wife supporting, and then that sort of changes, and now the wife wants to focus on the career. She says, I've dedicated so much time to my children. I want me now. I've dedicated to you. I want me. And we're seeing that develop again on New Jersey Housewives with Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga. They're going through that. And that is all developing right now. And you could see it. And being a divorce attorney and watching that happen, you're just waiting to see what's gonna transpire.
And it's interesting because with the, you know, not to be stereotypical, but with, you know, certain men, you know, you're the one who is always the breadwinner and making all this money. And now there's this shift where you have to cope with the fact that your wife is now the breadwinner and she's making more money than you are. And, you know, it could be a little demasculating and some people can't necessarily handle that.
And some, you know, and in a way, though, and others would think that's somewhat chauvinistic, right? That's the way that happens and the way that somebody feels. You know, Carolyn and I, we've been, you know, working in career women the whole entire time, but it's not easy. It's not easy, you know, balancing all of that.
We see it a lot, even with their clients. A lot of people come in and, you know, if you have a woman, and again, not to be stereotypical, but, you know, if you have a woman and she's making more than her husband and the husband isn't really reaching his potential, it could somehow be stifling. I mean, you'll hear Elise and I talk about it through all of our, you know, sessions, but, you know, you really have to grow together as a couple. And if one partner is growing.
Yeah. And you have to allow people to be who they're going to be.
But you have to keep growing. So if one person remains the same person when you married them and the other person has changed so much and doesn't even, you know, looking back, doesn't even remember who they were when they first got married, that's going to be a problem. They're not right. Going to grow together. And you see a lot of that where you have one person who's, you know, thriving financially or professionally and, you know, just wants to keep.
Spiritually.
Yeah, in any aspect and going through that journey and the other party might not.
And you say, well, she changed or he changed. Well,
you should have. You should have changed too. Not necessarily, but I'm saying it's.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and just talking about powerful women and balancing it all, we're really excited to have Stephanie Ovadia here.
Hello.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie.
I'm good. How you doing?
We're good. So we just want to formally introduce Stephanie Ovadia to our show. We're really, really excited to have you. You are to us just the epitome of balance. I mean, we were just talking about we're women of career and kids and everything like that. And we mentioned in our introduction that you're a mother of 8 and you've had such a successful career, you know, growing. But just tell us about how you developed your career as a successful litigator and agent and everything that you've done. I remember you used to run a huge practice.
I did. Well, first, let me start by saying thank you for having me on the show and for such a great introduction. It's kind of weird to, like, hear somebody introducing me because I'm always introducing people.
Yeah.
So it's
that's kind of weird to hear
my introduction.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny how I started. I don't know how I started, but I know one thing, that I always said, even if I sold pencils on Hempstead Turnpike, I was going to be successful. That was my motto.
And I think that's why you and my husband, who are good friends, get along so well. I mean, you really have such that entrepreneurial spirit on everything you do.
Right. I always just felt, and I always tell my kids, and this is sort of my own motto as well. Somebody becomes successful. Somebody. Why not me?
Hmm.
Why not them? Why not you?
Yeah.
You have to have that attitude that you will be successful to be successful. It's always got to be positive. And no matter what age you are. I still feel like, and you know, listen, I'm practicing law over 30 years. I still feel like I have not reached my goal. Like, I still have plenty of stuff to do. And
I think you recently reinvented yourself, right? I mean, you had this huge firm back then, and then take us through sort of what that was like. And then now I know you're doing what you love. You get excited about everything.
I do. But you know what? Yeah, I did. I had a huge firm. Now, this is going to sound crazy to you girls, but I had a huge firm before computers. So all those old-time lawyers out there know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, you had to type up your complaint. Each and every complaint was typed up separately.
Oh, my God.
Crazy.
And you had carbon
computer.
Copies, right? Because I know my parents have an accounting firm, and I used to remember having to write things on carbon copy.
That's right. Carbon copies, but legal documents had to be originals. So we had to type all these ridiculous documents up and use a lot of whiteout and a lot of corrective type, which is also dating me.
Yeah.
But you know what? That led then to life being easier. Once computers came around and the internet came around, it all got easier. So having a successful practice coming from, you know, typing documents to computers was a lot simpler.
Yeah.
And I did that for 25 years, and it was great. I had all my kids. It afforded us a lot of different things.
We want to talk about your kids, actually.
Can you tell us how old they are and, you know, what schools they went to and their professions? Because they're all, I mean, we're just astonished every time you explain this to us.
It's
because
unique.
One is more successful than the next. Like, besides genes, what's your secret?
Well, let's first start with why. Let's start with the why. Why are they successful? Why are my children successful? And why are other people's children successful? They're really, I believe that there is a reason. There's a reason. And I think part of that reason, and people ask me this all the time, so I sort of have a set response as to why. And I've thought about it. I've thought about it a lot. What makes my children and other people's children successful versus some children?
And when we say successful, just you have to give context. They all went to Ivy League schools. They're all doctors and everything else. I mean, this is unbelievable, the schools they went to and what they've done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, when I talk in terms of success, I talk in terms of them being really good people. And they are. And I'll tell you, every job my kids have had, their employers have wanted to speak to me. And just to tell me that they're a good person, that they're honest, that they're hardworking. And I've thought to myself, what created that? And my kids tell a very funny story. And it's simple, but it makes sense if you think about it. And they always tell the bedtime story. You know, parents have a thing with bedtimes. Well, they used to. I don't know if young parents today do. But in my time, everybody had a thing with bedtime. Oh, my God, my kid has to go to sleep by 7:30. Or, I don't know, they're going to implode in the morning. Well, my feeling always was, and this is my children telling other people this story. I used to say to them, listen, I don't give a damn what time you go to sleep. You can go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. But I'm up at 6 a.m. every day. And I still am. Now I'm even up earlier. As you get older, you kind of can't sleep. But anyway, I'm up at 6 a.m. every morning. And you know what? I said to my kids, I don't give a damn. Go to sleep whenever the heck you want. Don't matter to me. But But when I knock on that door at 6 a.m. and tell you to get out of bed, you had damn better get out of bed. And that's kind of the story my kids tell.
Did you find that they actually self-police themselves and went to bed more reasonable to control that type of a dynamic and not be exhausted and not able to get out of bed?
Right. And they tell that that's their life story. And they all tell the same damn story. That story of me letting them be who they are, but learning that there are consequences and that there is responsibility. Really knowing that this was a lesson that they were going to learn and tell people about, never even thinking about it. It was sort of my thing.
Do you find with other stories that there are things you did as a mother going through their lives that they say that you didn't even realize were an impact? I say things and my dad says, I don't even remember that. And to me, it was every lesson that I learned was on that.
Right. Well, there's the lesson that my kids tell why my kids are who they are today. The bedtime story.
So the kids are, the kids listening are going to say, see, Mom, I can stay up till 3 a.m.
Well, listen, as long as you want to stay up till 3 a.m., that's fine. But when I bang on that door at 6 a.m., you better damn be up, ready to get dressed and ready for school.
And you also did a lot with the routine with homework and coming home. I remember you saying that about keeping routine.
That was another thing. The first thing they had to do when they came home from school, they had to do homework. Once they finished it, they could do whatever they want. They could play video games all night long. They could watch TV. I mean, I know some parents put limits on these things. I never put any limits on anything other than homework had to be completed and it had to be done well.
Be yourself.
There's one other Stephanie Obadia tale, which I will tell, because it's another strange little story of mine that my kids tell today that I never realized it was such a strange story while I was going through it. I never went to parent-teacher conferences, ever, never. My kids used to say, Mom, I want them to tell you how great I am. I said, listen, I don't need to hear how great you are. I only need to hear if there's a problem. And if there's a problem, the teachers will call. If there's no problem, I can't leave work. I am a single working parent. I have to be working.
Wow.
So for me to go on the line and wait to talk to the teacher and have to stand at the door.
I
don't have time for that. Unless there's a problem, which is fine. If there's an issue, I'll be more than happy to show up. But if there's not a problem, I'm a single working parent. I don't have the time for that.
I will say you are in the business of showing up when there's issues. I think that should be your job title. I mean, you do that for probably not only your family, but your clients, your friends, everybody, right?
My family, everybody. But, you know, I'm there if you need me. I'm there if you need me. If you don't need me, I'm a busy working woman like you guys, like other working women out there that are supporting their families, taking care of their kids, and trying to cover a lot of ground in a 24-hour day.
And your children even your young ones, you have twins. How old are your twins?
The twins are 14.
Yes, so your kids range from 14 years old up to what?
33.
Wow.
And my son, Danny, I always tell him, Danny, how can you be my son? How is that even possible? Oh. I barely feel 33.
And what does Danny do now at 33?
Danny is a lawyer with Latham & Watkins, and he specializes in leverage buyouts.
Unbelievable. And you have one that's a plastic surgeon or something, right?
Steven is a plastic surgeon. He's at Johns Hopkins.
Unbelievable.
And he loves what he does. He's happy as could be.
So in that range, and I know your twins who are you said, what, 14 now, and I've known them for a while now, they are they are the most pleasant children. They seem so easy to adapt. I mean, you did a move with them recently, and they're now, they went from, you know, suburban kids to now city slickers.
Yeah, and they adapted, because children will adapt. It's us that don't adapt.
Yeah.
Children will adapt. If you don't make an issue of it, children will adapt.
We always say children are resilient.
Right. And talking about that, I know you guys are very successful matrimonial attorneys. And, you know, I went through a divorce as well. And people always say to me, how did the children stay so resilient through a divorce? Because we all know that it's very hard on the children. And my answer to that question always was, I never made it an issue, ever. I always sort of kept it to myself.
Yeah.
And never made my children a part of it. Never allowed them to become part of my divorce.
I remember my son, when he was little, he said to me years after I got divorced, he says, you know what you and Daddy are? it's called divorced. he didn't even know beforehand. So,
and my kids will say to me, I don't even understand how you and daddy, you know, got divorced. You get along so well. You never even fought or fight now. It doesn't make any sense.
And you also lost one of your husbands, correct?
I did.
And that's
which was also challenging. But, you know, again, it's about the woman. We keep ourselves together.
Yeah.
We keep it together somehow. And if we keep it together, our kids stay together. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there. I'm going to get all this hate mail. You hate men. No, I don't hate men. I just think women are stronger.
We're multitaskers, multidimensional, and things of that nature.
Yeah. So speaking of keeping it all together, Stephanie, what is your secret to how you balance your 8 children, your successful career, your personal life,
your exercise regimen, I think, right? Don't you?
That's part of it. That's what I was saying. You answered the question. I still get up every day, 6 a.m. I'm in the gym. By 7, I work out really hard, heavy weights, and that's how the day starts. And I think that's what pulls me through every day is that heavy-duty workout. And I just make myself do it. And
What's the workout of du jour for you now that, you know, the COVID has closed things and things are reopening? What's your go-to at this point? Because I know we still have to do a Rumble together.
Well, today I've been going to Rumble every day. I go every day to Rumble.
Are they at 50% capacity or what?
No, 100% here in New York City and no mask.
Oh.
But you have to show that you're vaccinated.
Okay. All right.
If you show that at the door, there's no mask.
Wow. That's great. So it's still Rumble. We got to get in the rink with you. Or not rink, but it's not rink.
That's the best. Best workout. Every time I've done that, I've never once not had to throw. Felt like I was going to throw up. It's just so intense. It's amazing.
It's such a great workout. And everybody says the same thing. Every single person in Rumble says the same thing. It is singularly the best workout in New York City, I think.
And your kids, do they follow suit? Are they all into that stuff? Do you find that everybody is?
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them works out. And it's interesting because one of the twins, who's 14, he always tells me, Mom, I'm following your footsteps. At about 13, when he's 14, let's say 12 and a half because he's doing this 2 years, he puts in 2 hours a day working out.
Wow.
This kid is going to be 15. He is so buff. And not only does it show through in his body, but it shows through in his schoolwork. It shows through in his appearance, how he takes care of himself, how he dresses, how he brushes his hair and brushes his teeth. I think working out is really important, not only for older folks, but for young folks as well.
For everybody.
And,
you got to keep moving. It keeps the brain moving and everything like that. So,
yep.
So where are you now in your life as Stephanie Ovadia?
As Stephanie Ovadi, where am I? Well, I live in New York City, which is a place I've always wanted to live. And not one day goes by, not even one, that I don't thank the God that I'm here, because I love every single day living in New York City. Something I always wanted to do, and it's better than I ever expected.
Wow.
Where else am I? You know what? Right now, I try and enjoy every day. I really do. I try and talk to every one of my kids every single day. I try and be the best attorney I can be.
You hustle in with those trials. How many trials you have on your schedule today?
I have a ton. I have a ton coming up and a ton of depositions. That's a whole nother topic.
I know.
About depositions and what it's like to be a person getting deposed and what it's like to be the person deposing that person.
We'll have to have you in to prep our clients. But it was so great to hear you speak, and just it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal what you've accomplished and what you're accomplishing.
I thank you guys for having me on, and I so appreciate powerful women. Keep it up.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You are our next, to me at least, our next generation.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was truly amazing to hear Stephanie speak. I mean, especially being working women like we are, it's just unbelievable to hear her, and you know, and it's very, very inspiring for me, I have to say.
And I can't wait to go home and tell my kids, guys, you know, you can go to bed whenever you want, but when I knock on that door, you better be ready to go. So they will and say, you thank can, you, Stephanie.
No, and you can use electronics for, there's no limits on electronics. I mean, if Damon heard that, he would be thrilled.
Well, he's you know, I take a very similar approach, at least with my oldest. I don't make him go to bed at a certain time, but it's kind of the same story. If he has a hard time waking up in the morning, I say, well, tonight you're going to bed earlier. No, I don't want to go to bed earlier. Well, but you're not waking up. So something's not balanced here.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily limit. I do keep bedtimes for my kids, but I don't limit electronics, like, so to speak, as long as you get your stuff done. And if that's how you want to relax and that's what you want to do. I mean, God knows I watch TV, like, you know, incessantly. So it is, you know, it's similar.
But the interesting part about that is you hear a lot of parents who do limit electronics, not during the week or a certain amount of time each day. And, you know, I always wonder, you know, should I be more restrictive? Should I, you know, not let my children have unfettered access? But what I think Elise and I both have observed and found is a lot of those kids, and again, this is not, you know, no judgment. I'm not saying that this is universally true, but a lot of those children then, you know, if they're over for a play date or something of that nature and they get the opportunity to be on the electronics, it's like they crave it. They can't get off
it. It's like when you're told you have to go on a diet and then you want it even more, or kids are, you know, you find the kids that are restricted more in what they eat are heavier children just because they feel that they, you know, need it. I mean, I don't know. That's what I found with myself and just people that I knew when I was young. But I will say, though, with Stephanie, that she didn't have children during our time of life. And there has definitely been, like, there is science.
Although she has twins, 14-year-olds.
Yeah, and they're not really on electronics. I know them. Think about it. He's wearing the gym for 2 hours a day. Yeah. But and that's the thing. That's probably not the choice that they make. But there is science out there that they say that it's not good for your kids to always be on this stuff. And, you know,
but course. I guess what you have to balance as well, it's not good for them to be on it. If you restrict it too much, is it going to make them want it more so that when they're of an age that you no longer have control and can't limit it, are they going to go the other way? You know, it's like the
rebellious.
Good girl. It's like, yeah, it's like the good girl who wasn't allowed to go out and do anything and she gets to college. And
it's a Billy Joel song, right? Like, it's something
only the good die young.
No, the one with the Catholic girls, or what was that song? The Catholic girls party so much because they're like,
only the good die young.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I would sing a little bit, but, you know, then we'll lose all our listeners.
So now for our Tales from the Bar, which is a segment that we like to do, and we'd appreciate any feedback or suggestions or comments when we're in social gatherings or at bars or at events. We tell people we're divorce attorneys, and we always get questions of, oh, have you heard crazy stories? What are some of those crazy stories that you've heard? And also some people want some advice, you know, some general legal advice about their situation or questions or myths that they've heard that are not necessarily true. And if you have anything like that, you could find us on divorceandhappilyeverafter.com, divorceandhappilyeverafter.com, where you can leave a suggestion, a question, and we'd certainly be happy to answer it as best as we can.
So we're going to go just through two questions today that we hear nonstop all the time. The first is, how long does the process of divorce normally take?
A big question that I get all the time, how long is this process going to be? And I say, divorce process is like a fingerprint. No two are necessarily the same. I can give you a range, and it really depends on the people. If you guys have terms and you come to it quickly, you could get your divorce done within 2-4 months. I mean, our divorces were done within that time frame. Right. But I mean, we had the homeschool advantage. But if you litigate or you're in court, you're averaging probably about 1 to 2 years, depending. Most cases settle. And if you're really one of those ones that you just have a lot of issues involved, whether they be financial or custodial, there are divorces out there that are lasting 3 to 4 years. I mean, we even have some, but COVID, of course, affected it, that had been started in 2015. 16 that are still on the docket.
And the next question that we were going to address today, which,
if you leave the house, marital residence, is that abandonment?
And the answer is no. If you leave the house, it is not abandonment. While abandonment is technically a ground for divorce on the books.
That's what the word abandonment is coming from for people.
It would be a ground for divorce, but now that we have no fault grounds in New York State, which is a subjective standard, it doesn't matter. You can leave the house. However, I will say, my divorce 101, if everyone said to me, you know, what's your best piece of advice? It's don't leave the house. Because if you have two people who are miserable.
Well, and the second piece of advice was, don't tell them you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Yes, definitely. definitely keep that under wraps. Emotionally, it makes it more difficult to wrap up. But, you know, if you have two people who are miserable and one out and they look at each other every day, you know, it's easier to get that case wrapped up than someone who is, hey, I could sit here forever. I don't have to look at him.
Yeah, pressure. And also custody issues.
Right. If you leave, that's not good for a custody perspective. You can't say that the person you left your children with is unfit when you left them with that child to begin with.
I always say, really, it's better to settle things up and then move on if you can. But I also don't live your life. So if your choice, your personal choice is that you need to leave, then, you know, we're going to do the best to make that happen as best as we can. So we're going to wrap up today. You can find us, like I said, on divorceandhappilyeverafter.com or, of course, our law firm website, GefnerKirsch.com. Our telephone number is 516-268-9898. It's been a pleasure, as always, sitting here with my business partner.
Till next time.